presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Oh my goodness.
Is that what that is?
Project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Ooh. Featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
I push buttons,
the Kitty Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
One door.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Dun, dun, dun. Episode 46. Once again, thank you to our sponsor, Basket Emporium. And also a big shout out to author Gail Z. Martin for sticking around for a whole extra day to be on this,
this
podcast. We do appreciate it. We won't penalize you for not changing clothes in that day, even though we gave you plenty of sponges to wash yourself.
I can't even say sponge sponsor.
That is difficult to say.
Field stole all the sponges.
Field, that bastard.
And then went to some wedding instead of the gala.
I know, what the hell is up with that?
So the Geek Gala, I know Giddy Geeker can't talk too much, but
no,
thumbs
you.
Up. Do you need to say thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
Okay. What did everybody else think real quick?
I loved it. I loved the venue, although I know we probably can't go back there next year. I think we had a few little hiccups, but all in all, I thought it was a really great gala. And we raised lots of money for the Children's Home Society.
The hiccups were because I lost my voice and I kept hiccuping.
So. They were all galas, there will be some glitches. But we
y'all ate too many chicken nuggets.
No,
let's just put it out there.
Four times through the line. Who are you people? There's like a Wendy's down the street. They have a dollar menu.
I did go twice.
I didn't go once through that damn line. Damn it.
I didn't go once either, but that's because they
somebody
served me a plate.
Yes. Only one plate though, right?
Only one plate.
I only went once, but yeah. You guys need to back it off, man.
That's right.
This is a gala. This is not a buffet. This is not the Golden Corral, people.
Oh my goodness. So we didn't get to watch Doctor Who because everybody passed out.
We were
Sunday
at the gala.
And
we were at the gala.
We were at the gala
Saturday
and we
night.
Didn't
or
watch
at,
it
in
recorded.
West Virginia.
Or West Virginia. So in the course of West Virginia, they have no cable. No BBC America. No, sorry,
oh,
West Virginia. We love you. We love you, West
there
Virginia.
There goes our three listeners from West Virginia.
Listen to people from
Africa, Carol.
Who somehow listen to our podcast, even though they have no internet up there.
That's right.
So about the people in Africa listen to us. So.
That's right. That's right.
What the heck?
All right, so let's just get right into this.
To transfer money.
Let's just get right into this damn shit. The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
So tell me your theory here. We're going to, let's
okay,
just say
so
it. Spoilers.
Spoilers if you haven't watched
why would
Thank
you listen
you
to this podcast?
From The Walking Dead, uh-huh. where they supposedly killed Glenn.
So you don't think that happened?
I don't think that happened. I think it's going to be, I've watched the
what?
Scene like three times.
What?
So Nicholas, the worst character.
Who's Santa Claus?
No.
Oh.
No, he brought no joy.
Was he wearing red?
No. Well, he was when he blew his brains out.
Oh, so was Glenn then.
Spoiler.
So Nicholas, the worst character since Andrea, goes a little cuckoo, and him and Glenn are standing on top of a dumpster,
yeah.
and they're surrounded by literally hundreds of walkers, and Nicholas blows his brains out, and they fall off the dumpster. Now, if you watch them fall, it's obvious Nicholas falls on top of Glenn. And then, of course, you get the walkers pulling out sausages and eating the intestines and stuff like that. It's obvious that they're destroying Glenn.
Yeah.
Or they're destroying Nicholas at that point, because Nicholas is lying on top of Glenn. It's filmed very carefully. But you're made to think that Glenn dies. Two reasons. Well, there's several reasons why I don't think he's going to die. One, he has an incredibly iconic death in the comic books. For those of you who are reading the comic books and haven't gotten quite to that point, sorry, he dies. He has a very iconic death in the comic book. The character that kills him in the comic books is showing up later on this season, so they say. I don't think they'd kill Glenn here just and then not do that iconic death from the comic book. So they're gonna do a cop-out, which is, I don't know.
Somebody comes and saves him, or he's covered in Nicholas's guts.
Yeah, he's covered in Nicholas's guts. So
we saw that one in the first season.
Yeah.
When they did that, when he erected that so they could walk through all the zombies.
So he's covered in guts, and the zombies, hundreds of zombies, are just going to miss that he's just lying there, and maybe he'll crawl under the dumpster or whatever. I don't like it. I love the character of Glenn, and I don't want to see him die like he does in the comic book. But that being said, it'd be really. It's a cop out if they.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I mean, I like Glenn's journey. I know no character is safe, and especially if you read that first collection of the Walking Dead comic books, it's like Game of Thrones. It's like
don't get attached to anybody.
You get comfortable just a little bit, and they're gone. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, forget that.
The only person you can ever get comfortable with is Carl, because I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I like that Glenn started off as kind of the guy who avoided everything.
Yeah.
And escaped, and he was kind of selfish in a little bit, but he was fast, and then he grew into the warrior where he was like. Purposely fought the zombies.
Yeah.
I thought that was... I guess at the prison is when the TV show when he really made that transition.
Now, if they do actually kill Glenn here, and it is actually what happened, what we thought happened, then that iconic death is going to fall on somebody else. And there is one person... Oh, better not be Carol, or I'll go kick
or Carol
Robert
will
Kirkman
be upset.
In, yeah, I would. Yes. I'll go kick Robert Kirkman in the nuts. There is one character that is not in the comic books.
Can we film that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Right.
There is one character that is not in the comic books that could fill that iconic death scene, and that's Daryl.
Hmm.
Interesting. And that's your other person that you take his ass for, right?
I know.
But he's not really...
He's not doing a hell of a
done
lot.
Too much
he's,
riding his no, motorcycle around.
Just riding his motorcycle around.
Yeah.
Little parade of zombies.
Huh. Interesting.
So...
We'll see.
We'll see next week. Next week is supposed to be a 90-minute episode, so either we'll get lots of flashbacks of Glenn being all, oh, he's dead, or they're going to pull him out from under the dumpster and he's going to be fine.
Yeah, because it was kind of either Glenn was going to die or Michonne was going to die, and I just knew they weren't going to kill Michonne.
Yeah, they're not going to kill Michonne. What is really funny for this show, where they seem to be only able to have one black male character, at a time, three black characters survived the episode. Nobody else did.
If he survives, we could call it Glengory, Glengrotz. No.
No, we couldn't.
Too old.
No. Man, you wasted voice on that.
I know.
The last thing Joey ever said this week was this joke, which we can play over and over and over. Thank you, Joey.
Sorry.
No.
So we'll see next week what they do with Glenn. But I think it's a cop-out. I think he's not dead.
Well, I made a typo. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, I did that right. Okay. I was. I thought I was reading S.H.I.E.L.D.s. I was what did I do wrong? No.
I got caught with bacon. But that's different than the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. God.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the story to watch is the Fitzsimmons story. Could care less about Sky right now. That's just me.
Oh, yeah. She's basically just become she's become an Inhuman and a superhero. And it's not quite as interesting. And like you pointed out, though, last week, she basically had a situation where she could use her non-superpower power, which was she walks in and there's all these computers and they need the information. And it's like she forgets that she can do it. They all forget that she can do it. And it's like, that's why she was recruited to the team in the first place. For her smarts. It's like, what? It's like...
And there's this whole thing about half the crew calls her Daisy. Half of it calls her Sky.
And they have to apologize every time they call her Sky. And
yeah.
So. Okay, so I still haven't caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it looks like I'm not really...
Well, no, it's on I'll tell list, you. But... What I would waste my throat on saying is...
Yeah.
There are three storylines right now. The whole thing with Daisy Sky, and she's trying to protect the Inhumans, and she's really upset with Coulson because somehow he's aligned themselves with the ATC, which is the government group. And, you know, there's this whole conflict there. Fitz and Simmons, you know.
You missed that whole face.
Fitz and Simmons, you know, trapped through the portal, brought back. Now she wants to go back, and you know he doesn't want her to go back, but she's got a disability just like he had previously had a disability. And that storyline's interesting because you want to know what happened to her. that she came out of this horrible situation, and yet she's turning around trying to figure out how to get back to it.
She had a baby. She had a baby, and there's a baby back.
Shut
there.
Up.
I'm telling you.
So she wants to go back. And then the third storyline is between the Calvary. What's her name? Ming-Na Wen's character.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
May.
Yeah.
May. But is May
George Custer?
May has left S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know she gets, just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bobby's boyfriend is trying to get revenge on the fact that Bobby got all shot up at the end of last season. Even though she's still alive, he's gonna kill Ward, and so. Now May is trying to help him, and so there's that storyline. Those two storylines are good, and they get the least amount of attention. The whole Sky Daisy thing, they want to make her like she's the pretty young thing, so let's make her the focus, and I just don't think it's worthwhile.
I will say I am almost caught up with Gotham, so next week I'll have...
Oh.
We can add Gotham to the list then.
Did anybody catch Supergirl?
I haven't recorded.
I forgot to record it, and it wasn't on demand.
I haven't recorded. I haven't watched it yet. I've had it for quite a while because I got an advance thing.
Oh, back when they were doing that, yeah.
But I still haven't watched it. I've heard good things. I've heard bad things.
Did you hear what Jeb Bush?
Jeb Bush likes it.
Yeah. It looks pretty.
He said,
well, you know,
she looked pretty hot. Saw the trailer, so that was his.
And, she looked pretty hot. Well, yeah, I hired her because she fit the suit.
I don't care what party you're on. It's like, you're really running for. I don't know. It just kills me. I don't know.
I'm not running for president at all, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on. But and apparently, the actress that plays Supergirl was very tactful and. We said, well, that's great.
Yes.
I hope he enjoys.
Yes, I do.
I hope he enjoys the episode. So yeah,
he's old enough to be my father.
Yeah, a little creepy.
Just a little creepy.
I am also watching The Flash. I'm trying to catch up on Gotham and The Flash. I'm watching still in the first season of The Flash.
Okay. Well, I'm not really going to talk about Arrow or Flash this week, just because the really good things that they hinted to are going to be tonight actually airing. So we'll just skip over that. Last Man on Earth.
Bacon!
All I can say is bacon shenanigans. Yeah, so Todd is one of me, the fat guy, in the aftermath of the world after this apocalypse. Thank you. But he's a portly guy, but he all of a sudden he's not hungry, and so Phil, who is the first last man on earth,
is now called Tandy.
Now called Tandy, which is his middle name. But anyway, he follows Todd and finds the solar powered house, and Todd's been, it's this huge freezer full of 42 packs of bacon, and hasn't been telling this group, there's like five or six people in the group, and he's just been frying it up, and they just had this awesome scene of, like you would do, they're just frying up all this bacon, eating it seductively in slow-mo. It's like the most awesome thing they have filmed on this show ever.
Taking Twinkies because they last forever, and sticking bacon in them like they're hot dogs.
It was quite graphic. It was so awesome. It was just incredible.
Did you have to eat bacon afterwards?
No. Although I've got a couple packs worth it. And then they had the big announcement from the saying that bacon is one of those horrible foods.
Cancer. Well, I think they say that every other month.
It was a really cute cartoon today, though, where it's like the guy's holding up a sign that says bacon causes cancer, and the guy looking at him pulling off his costume and his three pigs sitting on each other's shoulder, kind of like the Eat More Chicken commercials from Chick-fil-A.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but if you can live forever by eating nothing but kale, I mean, what's the point?
Why would you want to?
I'm sorry.
I'd rather know what eat makes some stuff kale that tastes I enjoy. Really delicious?
Bacon.
Yes.
Yeah, just like Brussels sprouts, like just some bacon. Hell yeah!
I feel like my grandfather on my dad's side, where he was a heavy smoker, and he just would, I would flush cigarette packs down the toilet, and he'd get all upset, and he said, and I would say, it's gonna kill you. It'll take 7 years off your life, and he would just always say, yeah, but it's the last 7 years. I don't give a shit. And I was like seven, and I was like, Okay, granted. So, I mean, I guess I'm going to be using his line here if this keeps going on. Right. I'm not giving up bacon. That's what I'm trying to say.
So. Life without bacon is not worth living, huh?
No.
It's quality versus quantity.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I just remembered, yeah. I did actually see a movie this week.
Oh, what movie?
I saw a movie called The Last Girl. It's actually a pretty good film. Tiffany, I actually think you'd like this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about this teenager whose mother was a scream queen in an 80s movie, very similar to Friday the 13th, which I'm going to go see tomorrow on the big screen.
Cool.
But they get caught in a theater fire, and they go through the screen, and they actually end up in the movie. And they all try to be that last girl that makes it out of the movie alive. So they're trying to stop people from having sex and from running upstairs. And from and they basically know all of the deaths that are going to happen. So
all the
tropes. So they're trying to stop people from doing that. And they're trying to be that last girl that actually kills the killer and makes it through the entire film. And it's actually really cute. It's actually a really good film. So We rented that on Amazon Prime.
And we saw two other films. We saw Escargot.
Oh, that's right. Yes, from our film festival.
It was the five-minute film at the film festival.
With the snail?
With the snail.
Yes, snails. Unfortunately, the chef goes out and picks up a head of cabbage, and inside are four or five snails who all come to bloody demise as they try to escape out of the kitchen.
I really love that.
It was really cute. It's only 5 minutes long, but it was so funny. And then we got to see We Have Steven.
Which was also incredibly funny.
Which was put on by a group called Murder of Fools, which is a combination of people from Robot Johnson and another group. And that's about a 17-minute film. It was originally shorter, but they had done it as part of a 48-hour film project, and we got to show that on the screen. Did you get to see it?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Oh, that was actually, it was really good. I looked that up. Robot Johnson, We Have Steven.
You could see it on Facebook, but we showed it on the bigger screen.
Right.
But it was really funny, and you would recognize a bunch of the people that were in there.
Because they've all been guests of the show.
Yes, they all have, pretty much.
I think what I liked about that was I only saw the first 5 minutes because I was doing some stage management prep stuff, and then I saw maybe the last 5 minutes of it, and I was laughing. Oh, LOL. I was really laughing out loud. I was like, wow, that doesn't always happen. I get a little jaded sometimes, so I thought that was...
Yes, Matt was dressed as Bath Matt.
Yes. Thank you for that idea, Giddy Geeker!
Yes, Batman was fighting. And there was the perfect picture on Facebook is Batman, Al Bigley dressed as Batman.
Oh, the greatest costume.
And Matt dressed as Bath Matt. And Al Bigley put underneath it, one fights crime, the other fights grime.
Oh, I had a loofah on a stick. It was a lot of fun, though. Let's see. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? We watched that.
I've actually seen that.
Couple episodes today.
What did you think?
I did not like it.
Oh. Did you watch two episodes or just the one?
I watched the first one. I thought that the girl was really, really cute, and I liked her character. But I'm not a huge musical fan, so the fact that she kept breaking out into song eventually just got very annoying to me.
There were less songs in the second episode, if that makes a difference.
So never watch Cop Rock. I threw a Cop Rock reference out.
I don't know what that is, so whatever.
It was, imagine Law and Order turned into a musical.
Okay.
It was pretty crazy. But this show reminded me just a tad bit of, and you helped me look it up, I guess on IMBD, but it was the
Eli Stone,
where back, I guess it was lasted a couple seasons, about
a couple seasons.
So
26 episodes.
Yeah, so he, from his perspective, he would hallucinate, and either he thought these things were really happening, or people were trying to say, oh no, it's because you have a brain tumor. And so the question of the whole show, and I can't remember how it ever ended, if they got to resolve it, but it was like, were these fantasy type of things really happening, and everybody else wasn't tuned in, or was it the brain tumor? And
wow, that's like a depressing Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah. But it was a really good show. I think it was on Fox, though, and they were just being kind of experimental back then, so I don't know, but... So of course, they had to cancel it immediately, because it was...
The crux of the show... is that this very successful driven lawyer who's driven by her mother being like henpecked by her mother, goes to Harvard, becomes a lawyer, and, you know, is about to be named junior partner in a very short amount of time. And as she was doing that, she keeps seeing this fast food commercial showing a biscuit with butter on it saying, "But Art, when was the last time you were happy?" And like repetitively, like creepily repetitively. And then there was a sign that says outside and it falls and it points down to the street and she's looking at it. And it's this guy she dated over the summer at camp when she was 16 that broke up with her at the end of the summer like boyfriends do back then. And she finds out that he's moving to West Covina. Yeah. And so she quits everything and moves to West Covina from New York City to run into him because she's the crazy ex-girlfriend who dated him for 2 months when she was 16.
I did like the, like, there's the, some in her new office, there's that character that's, like, so suspicious of why she showed up, if she's so qualified and everything, and I think she has some pretty good lines. I like kind of, like, the...
I think you would like the second episode better than the first.
Okay, well, I'll give it another chance then.
Pilots are always a little off, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
the second was better, but I would like to see one more episode and then decide.
Yeah.
Do want to give a shout out to Rebel Base Comics and Toys. We went out last Wednesday for their Back to the Future Day, and that was pretty fun. They had the Pepsi Perfect, and they had a variant cover for the new IDW comic, and John Harrison Jr. was out there signing copies and stuff. But Troy and the guys out there really did a great job, and there were some people cosplaying. So that was
Cher, Lambeth.
Cher has been on the show. Was out there dressed as Marty, which is pretty fun.
And now everything that happened in Back to the Future is in the past.
Depressing, isn't it?
And we are old.
Did you see the Facebook post that was going around? There was a woman saying, "I wonder if they talked about this in 1955, like we're talking about it now." And they were like, "You realize the movie was made in 1989?" She goes, "I know, but I wonder if in 1955 they were talking about it." She goes, "You know it's a movie, right?" And she's like, "I realize you weren't there, so you don't know. But they could have totally been talking about it in 1955. Oh, we just don't have..." Yeah, it was really...
That's awesome.
And so people are like, "I really hope that she's not that stupid. I really hope
no,
it's like..."
Never it's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
The power of people's stupidity.
Ouch. Okay.
Did you guys hear about this object WT1190F?
So if you took the 1190 out of it, it's just WTF?
Pretty much, yeah. I just wanted to have an excuse to put that on there. It's a 7-foot object on a collision course with Earth.
When's it supposed to hit us?
Is it going to land in Russia again?
Nope, in the Indian Ocean, near an island, 40 miles from this little island. But they think it is a... part of a 7 feet large, but I think it's part of a rocket booster from a Russian rocket that went up. So,
we're not all gonna die.
No, we're not gonna die. It's 7 feet, so it'll be nothing by the time it gets through the atmosphere. But I saw it today and was like, "What is this?"
This
and
isn't
like,
deep impact. This is just
this is like a minor splash in the
middle pond. Impact.
Yeah.
Unless you're the person standing right there.
What the hell?
If you're out fishing that day in the Indian Ocean, look out. But yeah,
it's gonna be some gnarly waves, man.
I think that's when Atomicon's going on. That thing's gonna hit. So if you guys feel a disturbance, that's what's happening.
Disturbance in the forest.
It's as if tiny millions of tiny krill screamed in terror.
So what's happening in Norway? Somebody found a Viking sword.
Yep, there you go.
Skyrim
ripped from today's headlines.
Ripped right off the page.
In Norway, a hiker.
Did they keep it?
You might have heard.
I totally be like squirreling that thing home. I wouldn't be telling anybody.
I guess it was a sword. I guess it was a sword blade, and it was perfectly preserved. And yeah, they donated it to obviously a museum so they could carbon date
obviously.
All that fun stuff. So. Not me. I'd been like, cutting myself.
Kara would have put that above her bed.
I would have been like, "Cosplay. Here I come. Best cosplay ever."
You have to peace bond that sucker.
Do not be peace bonding my 1,200-year-old Viking sword, please. Yeah, and I'm kind of dirty.
Oh my god.
Oh my. All right. So speaking of ripping, R.I.P.
Speaking Mog. Of ripping.
Ow. Great segue. Actor Dick Maug, a.k.a.
Not to be confused with Smaug.
Smaug. Ed James from the Bartle and James commercials back in the 80s.
wow.
He passed away. So no. It's
thank you
for your day.
Support. It's clearly not a sad day for Carol.
It's a sad day for wine cooler enthusiasts of the 80s. I don't know.
Do they still make Bartles and James?
No. Haven't in years.
I was going to say, I haven't seen those on the shelves in forever.
I just thought it was, I have to admit, I was laughing. I'm like, this is making news? This is trending and stuff? I'm like, was anybody alive that uses Facebook? I guess it was me. I don't know.
We're talking about it.
We use Facebook. So I do remember them, but I'm just like,
I don't think I drank plenty of those in grad school. Thank you very much.
I snuck a lot of those and Seagrams into movie theaters back in the day.
And concerts.
But all I could think of, and it wasn't for these guys, but it was Bruce Willis doing the Seagrams, the competitors. Yes. Seagrams, go to my... That's all I could think of
when I was reading the story. I just think of Billy B, Colt 45.
Works every time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I guess we've destroyed another episode of Guardians of the
Galaxy. Gail, aren't you so glad you stayed over?
Gail, thanks for staying over.
Gail,
why don't you plug where everybody can find you here, since we haven't mentioned that in this episode. So.
Sure.
And you've been waiting for a whole day. So
no problem. Well, the new book is Vendetta, and that is in my urban fantasy series, Deadly Curiosities. That comes out December 29th. There will be a launch party at Atomicon in Charleston. And there'll also be a launch party for that, along with the Weird Wild West and the Side of Good, the Side of Evil at PhilCon.
Excellent.
And between now and then, locally, I'll be at the University City Library on the 7th, and I'll be at Mug's Coffee at the book club meeting on the 10th.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. I'm pushing the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun. By
coffee.
Stuff.
Coffee.
Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution.
Basket Emporium.
International.
I normally drink tea.
She'll be up all night.